Welcome back to Backdoor Cover. We talk about sports, gambling, and kick-ass animals. We got new episodes every Monday and Thursday this week. We are coming out on Wednesday due to the holiday. Hope everybody had a special Labor Day weekend.
Being on vacation, let's be transparent here.
Well,
we would have done it yesterday, but you were out of town.
It was a national vacation.
You were in Colorado.
Well, you're in Vail.
Yeah.
But it was everybody was on vacation.
Which I've been to, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I've heard.
Oh, I never heard that.
I'm Ross Bolin here with Dan Magister.
We had a good week, Ross.
We did. A really good week. A good gambling week. It's always nice to start off on the right foot.
Well, I'm happy for you guys.
Got to start in the green.
And Dylan Shivery.
Hey, Billy. I'm happy for you guys and your gambling success.
Thank you.
My weekend wasn't so strong as a Texas fan, I'm saying.
No, it wasn't.
We'll get to that, though.
The entire state, with the exception of one or two schools, did not have a strong weekend.
I don't care about the state. I don't care about the conference that Texas is in. I just care about the University of Texas.
Well, then we'll get to your trash-ass school in a second.
So, wait, Ross, did you just, like, ride with me with everything I picked on Twitter?
With the exception of, like, two things, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, then.
To start things off on a philanthropic note, we have a shirt available at grandexshop.com/strong. It's a Houston Strong shirt to support the people of Houston and the flood relief situation. 100% of proceeds from this shirt will go to Houston flood relief. It's a good looking shirt. It's a cool shirt. If you want to support Houston, help the people out who got flooded, which is pretty much everybody, go to grandexshop.com/strong. Also, shout out to J.J. Watt, who has raised over $20 million now and is just running around Houston with massive trucks delivering supplies.
He's like Santa Claus. He has bags over his shoulder. He just run around just dropping shit off.
Have we made the final decision that our proceeds for these shirts are going to the J.J. Watt Foundation?
I have not heard the official announcement. That was the, like, we were like 80% leaned that way. Yeah.
If you're going to trust your money with someone to make it
You give
happen,
your money to JJ.
It's the guy with boots on the ground.
I'm actually considering just giving all of the money I ever make to JJ because he's going to do better with it than I am.
That's
like,
fair.
Why would I even keep? I'll keep just enough to gamble with and give the rest to JJ. And then I'll figure out the food thing, you know.
Hey, man, depending on how much money you won this weekend.
That's true.
That's going to
the hurricane relief. I'll just keep winning sports. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I forgot. I pledged. What did I say? Match?
No, you said you would just, all your winnings would go towards the hurricane.
Got another donation coming your way, JJ.
And we got another hurricane coming.
Look at you, Bill.
Dude, yeah, we do. We have another fucking
Florida
hurricane.
You're like the Austin JJ, wiped off the basically. Map.
I am basically the Austin JJ Watt. Yeah. I'm wearing my...
What does this say? Hunt Greatness.
I'm wearing a Hunt Greatness t-shirt right now.
And the JJ Scoots, if I...
No, these are James Harden Scoots. Oh, but I'm Houstoned out, dude. I'm in solidarity. I've listened to nothing but Zero for a week and a half. It's starting to screw with my head a little bit. I feel like I need to be on the block instead of in here.
Go back to the block,
talking to white people about sports.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Anyway, prayers up to Houston. Go to grandexshop.com/strong.
And prayers out to my friends in Florida. Like, hold strong.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah. Irma.
Dude, that thing is
She's a bitch.
Beast.
Yeah. What a hoe.
Yeah.
How much longer do we have before that thing is actually near the coast?
It's supposed to come this weekend.
I think she's already tearing up some Caribbean islands.
Yeah, Caribbean's done.
Yeah, it's like getting flattened. Basically.
No more vacations.
I feel like the Caribbean just got done rebuilding itself from like hurricanes 20 years ago, and now it's about to get wiped off again.
Some parts.
Why even bother?
That is accurate. Yeah. Some parts, not so much.
I think Puerto Rico, no chance. Like, Puerto Rico might not even be an island after this weekend.
Good. Well, thoughts and prayers to the people of Puerto Rico who Dan just deemed possibly wiped off the face.
I'm sorry, guys.
We got love for Puerto Rico.
I haven't been watching the weather.
I'm seeing like close to 200 mile an hour winds. That can't be good.
Yeah, I saw Cat 5. You don't want that. You don't want Cat 5. You want Cat 0.
So if you're out there on the East Coast, hunker down or get out of there, whatever you got to do.
I think you want like a light rain shower.
You know what the thing I love the most about hurricanes is? Is being able to hunker down and say hunker down.
Parties are awesome. Hurricane parties.
Hunkering down is the way I want to live like my whole life, not just when there's a hurricane.
I was on family vacay in the Bahamas when I was a kid, and the hurricane was approaching, and we hunkered.
You hunkered down hard?
We hunkered down.
I bet that's a good memory of your childhood hunkering.
It ended up being fine.
The thing about Florida, though, is there's like no basements to hunker down in.
We don't have basements in Houston.
No.
Basements is just a northern thing, Dan.
Okay.
Basements is only when you're above sea level. Otherwise, you're just digging into water.
This is true.
And then you're just filling your own house up before the storm even comes.
Shouts to a friend of the podcast and native Puerto Rican Alex George. Just wanted to put that out there.
Yes. Shouts to Alex George.
Thinking of you. And the whole,
I ran into Alex
Puerto
on
Rican
Puerto Rico
Saturday night.
Yeah. All right. And speaking of Houston, we're just going to knock out all Houston news at once at the beginning here so that we can be done with it. The Rockets got sold to Tillman Fertitta of the Landry's Empire. And I love that he's like, and the Golden Nugget. He's very specific in his like Twitter bio that he is the sole shareholder. He has never given an employee any stock
of Landry's?
Of any of it. He owns all of it outright.
Which Golden Nugget does he own?
Both. Lake Charles, Las Vegas.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, this guy's a baller.
Well, man. I feel like he has to put that out there because I saw a graphic that he spent like 71% of his net worth on
yes.
the team.
So the comparison was that Steve Ballmer spent 6% of his net worth on the Clippers. Tillman is all in on the Rockets.
How did Ballmer make his money?
Microsoft, dude.
Yeah. Oh, he's a Microsoft guy.
Yeah, he was a CEO.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's fucking crazy.
There are Golden Nuggets in Vegas, Lake Charles, and Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, there you go.
What's up?
But yeah, so he paid $2.2 billion for the Rockets.
He's gotten some of my money then, for sure.
Which is 71% of his net worth, as Dan said, which is it's a bit of a risk, but I guess once they're worth that much, it's like...
The way pro franchises, especially in the NBA, have been like...
Going up in value.
Yeah, it seems like a good investment.
You just got to think there's a roof on this thing somewhere.
You have to think that.
I mean, what the hell? But the thing is, he's a Texas-born guy. He was born in Galveston. He's been a Rockets fan his whole life. This is like a lifelong dream of his to own the team.
That's cool.
And so, if I've got $4 billion, say, and the Rockets go on sale for $2.2 billion, I'm buying the Rockets.
You're still sitting on $1.8 billion.
I think I'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? So I get it. But cool fact about this, too, is Les Alexander, our former owner, who was the best owner ever, sucks to lose him, but we got best case scenario getting Fertitta coming in there. Les bought the team for $85 million in 1993.
And then he got like two championships, right?
Won back-to-back championships immediately after becoming the owner. Flips the team for $2.2 billion. How many years? 14 years later?
I wouldn't call it flipping when it's so...
24 years later?
24 years.
Math was never my strong suit.
Yeah.
But that...
It was a long play, and it paid off.
If I'm correct, going from $85 million to $2.2 billion in the span of 24 years is not bad.
That is a positive ROI.
Yes, that is what they call it.
Yeah.
ROI stands for righteous,
good for
obstacle...
him. And good for the Rockets, because they may have lost a great owner, but they upgraded in names, because Tillman Fertitta...
Great name.
Hall of Fame name.
Yeah. He owns casinos, which is just tight.
When your name's Tillman Fertitta, you're just bound for success.
This guy's busted kneecaps.
Owning a casino, well, that's always been a kind of a dream of mine.
Micah threw up
Steve Wynn, kind of my
hero.
Fun
fact up here. This dude is the third cousin of former UFC owners Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta.
There's lots of Fertittas running around out
also
there.
Also casino owners. Yeah.
Doing baller shit.
Man, we got to get in the casino business.
What are we doing? Podcasting.
Dude. Yeah, why aren't we in Vegas?
How do we parlay this podcast into a casino ownership situation?
Every time you belly up to a blackjack table and you just give them like $500, wouldn't you want to be on the receiving end of that? I want to make that money.
I would prefer to be on the receiving end of that.
I want to bet with the house is what I'm saying.
More importantly, I want to own a casino so that when I sit down and lose that $500, it's just losing it to myself.
That's the play.
That's the real reason.
Well, this week I'm all in on cryptocurrency. So what if we do cryptocurrency casino?
Ooh.
Crypto casino?
Yeah. We go to Silicon Valley.
But the problem is like one chip would be worth like $3,000.
It fluctuates.
Like the minimum bet's like $1,800.
I really have no understanding of cryptocurrency.
No one understands cryptocurrency or understands how to explain cryptocurrency to a normal person.
This is the time to make a crypto casino because nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
We get filthy rich and then...
Like I just bought $500 of Litecoin. And I have no idea what to do with it.
Have you seen the subreddit explain it to me like I'm five or something like that?
Yeah.
I need that for cryptocurrency because I do not get it.
I don't think
anybody knows.
I watched a Netflix documentary and I still don't know.
Another fun fact about Fertitta, he tried to buy the Rockets in 93 when Les Alexander ended up purchasing them. His offer was $81 million. Les got the team for $85 million, obviously, but Fertitta went from offering $81 million in 93 to $2.2 billion. So he really wanted the team.
I did the math. That's $2,115 million that he paid more this time.
That doesn't
around.
Count for inflation, Micah.
True.
Yeah.
I bet he would have been happy to put out another $5 million at the time.
That seems like that would have been the...
We're talking big money, folks.
He didn't give a fuck. Another Houston thing, Justin Verlander has never lost a game as the Astros starter.
Yeah, 6 innings, 1 earned run. That's going to be... That wasn't my baseball minute, but...
Did he look sharp?
I'm sorry, I have to touch on Verlander. He looks sharp.
Segment.
I had to admit, I have not watched him at all this year, but I was under the impression he was washed.
You haven't watched him at all, he seemed washed because he's on the fucking Tigers.
He was washed because
two
or three years ago, and then he kind of made a slow comeback last few years, like a year or two.
You take Verlander in your starting lineup for playoff situations in 2017.
And Cade Upton sightings.
I got to say this, though.
Man, that is nothing for me.
I'm a huge Cade Upton guy. Very, very big fan of her. But she didn't look great at the game last night.
I like her more,
she
though.
She doesn't look great in 8 years.
I like her more, though, because I think she's not like a ride-or-die bitch with Verlander. She's always with him.
Well, I mean, based on photographic evidence I've seen, she is the definition of. Yeah.
I like that in a girl.
We don't have to get deeper into that why, but just... Google the fappening or something.
You've
if you
seen
need
the
to
pics.
Know. Yeah.
She peaked at like 20 and a half years old, and then she just went down.
Disagree. But well, I, you know what? Maybe I've got more love for the bigger girls than you do.
I mean, her peak was what, the cat daddy? That video?
That was probably the peak. No, I don't know. I don't think you can say. Dude, she was still on the fucking cover of Sports Illustrated like last year. Well, I don't think you've lost peak status.
Yeah,
if
but
you're still
Sports
doing
Illustrated
that.
Also is. Well, I don't want to offend people out there. I'll stop there.
I don't know where you're going with that, but Kate's got cannons, and I'm all about them, and good for Verlander.
They have
and good
embraced
for the Astros.
The fuller figure women.
They have, sure.
And that's why she reemerged.
Sure.
That's all I'll say.
No, you're a fat shamer.
We'll go
that's
on.
All, that's
no,
all.
No, no, no. I love big people.
Let's not even like put her close to Ashley Graham.
Yeah,
I love
that's
big.
Not,
I love bigger
that's
people.
Not a, that's not a good comparison.
They're not in the same realm.
No.
I didn't say anything about Ashley Graham.
We've already made this announcement. We're going to make it again, though, because it's on the rundown, and I can't skip over things, or I'll have a panic attack. So, we will be back Monday and Thursday every week for
next
the remainder
week
of college football season.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow, which is Thursday, and when we'll be back again.
Yeah, going back to back.
Back to back.
Yeah, that's what that's called. Drake invented going back to back,
like Jordan in 96, 97.
I was going to say like the Rockets in 93, 94, or 94, 95.
I'm doing
95.
The Drake song, though. You know how that song starts?
Oh, yeah,
starts?
Okay, okay,
the
whatever.
Song is actually called Back to Back.
It
was
is.
The diss track, the Meek Mill diss track.
It was about, one Meek Mill.
Right after what, Charge Up?
Philadelphia native
he
Meek
went
Mill.
Back to back, he went Charge Up and then back to Back to Back.
I actually really
rest
like the
in
new,
peace.
I really like that new Meek Mill album.
I really like every Meek Mill album. He's highly
did
underrated.
Mike just rest in peace Meek Mill? He's still alive.
You can't rest in peace a guy who has a hit album
and
out
he just,
as
yeah, he just put out a great album.
Did he?
He's a good rapper.
Wins and losses.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Well,
no,
he lost the Drake battle, that's for sure.
Well, we're not
he,
talking.
He won getting away
here.
From Mickey or Nicki Minaj though. That was a win.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm torn there still. I'm in and out on Nicki Minaj, depending on what week it is and whether or not her ass is deflated and needs to be worked on again.
And that was white people talking hip hop.
It was. Now college football. Overall thoughts on the weekend. I gotta say,
I have notes.
It was
fun.
It was a fun one.
It was fun.
It was great.
I agree.
We've decided though, where Jared's an underboy, me and Ross are overlords.
Oh, I'm betting the over on every game.
Every
the rest
game
of the
is
season.
So fun.
Yeah.
Even that Georgia Tech game. That was painful, but we got there.
The thing is, the games like that where you're maybe screwed the whole time and then you pull it out are the best wins ever when you've got the over like that.
I mean, I do prefer like having the over by half. That's nice.
Yeah.
But this is more exhilarating, of course.
I also enjoy betting the over because you can usually tell if you are truly fucked by like midway through the second quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the time, then you can just zone out and move on and bet on another game.
I have no idea how Georgia Tech lost that game. I think they outgained Tennessee by like 2,000 yards.
But there was a lot of weird shit like that this week, which is why I enjoyed it. But biggest Vegas gambling and geographically news this weekend was UNLV blowing the biggest point spread differential in college football history.
So there's some information I wish I had before this game, and that's Cam Newton's brother, Kalen, is the quarterback of Howard. I wish I had that information before this game.
Because you would have bet the fucking plus 45?
Like, I kind of joked on Twitter, like, hey, I might have taken the money line, but like legitimately might have taken.
Yes.
I'm legitimately
starting
might have taken
quarterback
the 43.
For Howard. They were a 45-point underdog, Howard was, and they won 43-40.
How about Cam's brother being 5'11"?
That's the thing. That's
weird.
This is why he was so under-recruited is because Cam is obviously 6'6", 245. Kalen is 5'11", 194.
The runt of the family.
But he...
He balls out.
He just ruined UNLV's... That's your program's done forever.
Well, he rips their heart
out. They need to take away your football program. You should no longer be allowed to play the sport. If you're a 45-point favorite and you go in and lose game one...
Let's set the record straight, though. UNLV, not a great team. It was just... They really underestimated Howard. Like, this is, it's considered the biggest upset in college football history, but that's not true.
Dude,
we're talking Howard,
no,
though,
it's
Dan.
Not the biggest upset in college football history. It's the biggest point spread differential in
college football history.
$100 on the money line for Howard would have paid off $71,500. No bookie would even take that action, but obviously Vegas might. But $100 to win 71 grand? I'm going to start taking flyers on random. Schools I've never heard of with quarterbacks no, of.
I think it's too late. I think this was the week to get it.
Yeah, that
Liberty
might have been it.
Beat Baylor.
Yeah,
rough start for the Baylor Bears.
Baylor's done. It's over. Okay, for all these schools that choked away week one, A&M being another great one. UCLA came back and won 45-44 after what were they up 40 to?
They were up 34.
They were up 44-10.
Yeah,
and then they just never scored another point.
Correct.
So I have some stats written down.
Give us the stats.
Let's see. Good radio. Good. Josh Rosen. He started out 11 for 27 until 4 minutes left in the third quarter. The final 19 minutes of the game, he went 24 for 32, 370 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Is that good?
I think so. Jesus. It's not bad, right?
Way to go, A&M's coverage.
He had some questionable throws though. There was a few throws that should have been intercepted, but I mean, he got it done when it mattered. Shouts to our boy Rosen.
Okay. Discussion. Who had the worst loss of the three Texas teams? Texas, Baylor, or A&M?
I still say Texas.
Explain.
It's between Baylor and Texas.
Because.
Oh, I think y'all are both so wrong.
A&M played a good football team. Texas played Maryland. That's a lacrosse school.
Okay.
And lost at home.
Give some shouts to their basketball.
Baylor's
program too.
Dunzo. They've got good basketball. Baylor, no, I don't get. Nobody cares about Baylor anymore. It's over after all the scandals they've had.
Matt Rhule has a mess to clean up.
Okay,
in Baylor
on paper, the Texas loss and the Baylor loss were worse than the A&M loss, obviously, because UCLA is a formidable opponent. They have a Heisman candidate
right.
at quarterback, so. The loss doesn't look as bad, but considering the fact that they were up 34 points in the third quarter of the game and lost the way they did, their hearts were just ripped out of their chest. Their season is ruined. Their quarterback's done for the year.
Yeah,
this was
counter.
A crushing blow, and so for that reason, A&M had the worst loss of the three.
Here's the thing. Nick Starkel breaks his ankle out for the second half. They're putting in a quarterback. I think it was a true freshman, maybe a redshirt freshman. He clearly couldn't throw the ball, so like A&M pretty much fucked for the
you
rest.
Normally
of the
year. Want to throw the you want to be, you want a quarterback who can throw a football.
Yeah, so like pretty much UCLA could stack the box against this kid. Rosen's going to be a top 10 NFL like draft pick this upcoming year. I don't think it's. I mean, it's obviously
they
a
blew
really
a 34 point lead.
It's a crushing loss,
dude. You lost to Maryland at home.
Texas is not good.
And it's your
don't get me wrong.
Here's the reason
they gave up 51 points.
Here's the reason
it's
I think the Texas loss is worse. You got a new coach, Tom Herman. Everybody's hyped on the Texas is back train, and you lose game one at home.
Oh, no one's really hyped on that. The Texas is
people,
back.
No,
were hyped
after
on the
that
Texas
pick
is back
six. Train. It's 7-0 Texas, and it's like, all right, we're gonna run Maryland off the fucking field.
It was Twitter was just pure elation from Texas fans,
and then Pigram pushes obviously. Their shit in until he tears his ACL.
As an anti-UT, anti-A&M, fucking, I'm anti-Baylor too. Guy, this was a fantastic weekend for me. I just got to watch everybody choke away.
I hate Baylor.
My point pre us getting into all these different games is there's nothing more defeating than getting so pumped about college football season, and then your season is literally ruined
thank
game
you.
One.
That, I was going to bring that up. It is so disheartening. Like you said, Texas is entering a new era, a new head coach. We have there's a lot of hope going forward.
Right.
And so we're excited for that, obviously. And Texas is a power football school. We get excited for it.
You're supposed to be.
No, it is. Historically, it is.
It's been a while.
No, it hasn't.
2009.
Come on.
Alabama, yeah, national
years ago,
they
national
lost.
Championship game.
I personally don't consider Texas to be a power football school. That's just me.
Well, it is. I don't care what your opinion is. It is, in fact.
Well, I get an opinion. I have a microphone.
No, you don't. Not on this.
Okay.
And it's just to lose game one like that. It's just like you wait. Now we have to wait a whole other year to see if they're going to be like a decent
That's not
football.
True.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, all right. So this
season,
a lot of this
there
roster.
There's little hope left in this season.
A lot of this roster was the same team that lost to Kansas last year. So it's going to take a little bit. They need to get the wheels turning. But like Herman, like game one, you kind of maybe had to expect this. You had too high of expectations.
Just sure. To be clear, and I don't normally shade the host here, Texas is the second winningest college football program of all time. So Ross is wrong.
Well, you're just a Texas fan. But yes.
He's not a Texas fan.
He's an Austin guy.
He's an Austin
Micah
guy.
Micah does not like the University of Texas.
Facts only.
Okay. Why don't you come sit over here in the fucking chair and do the podcast, then you cock.
No, I mean,
there is really
no excuse for Texas to like be a poor program. Like, it's one of the top.
Oh, you're right.
It's at least one of the top two states when it comes to recruiting.
How many years in a row have they been a poor program?
It's been like
since like Mac Brown kind of like gave up
long enough to where it's I'm allowed to say whatever the fuck I want about Texas.
No, Texas is spiraling. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
They're still not.
That's why you hire a guy like Herman, you have hope all
the time.
Dude,
go back and listen to the podcast 2 weeks ago. We're talking about the Maryland game like it's a fucking automatic win.
Oh, it was supposed to be, for sure. This is a 19-point spread.
It's going to look worse, too, because Pigram's out for the season. Their starting quarterback, who looked really good, the dual threat. But, I mean, DJ Durkin, he's a very underrated coach. Where is he from? Duke can recruit.
Has he been at Maryland for a long time?
No, he's been there for 2 years.
That sucks that their quarterback is out for the season after a win like that. Yeah, that actually sucks for them. I feel bad for that kid.
I think he's a Florida guy because Jake talks him up.
I also like the dynamic of Texas winning against Notre Dame to open last season and everybody going full-blown hype train and then the season falling apart.
Yeah, what would
apart.
You rather prefer? Last year's season opener win where you just get like way too hyped and then disappointed?
Yes, I would prefer a season opener win than a loss.
I would prefer the situation you're in right now.
But yeah, but you know
where to go but up.
You know you're going to have the season you had last year.
You take
a win
when you can
win.
Get a win. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, but beating Notre Dame,
you set
and
the expectations.
Setting your bar so high as a result, and then realizing like 6 weeks later that Notre Dame sucks ass and that your season is a lie.
We sold Let It Fucking Rip shirts, and they were irrelevant within 3 weeks.
You don't think there's more hope in this situation where you can easily bounce back from this?
I mean,
it's one fucking game.
You get crushed now, get crushed later. It doesn't matter. You take a win when you can get a win.
Here's the thing. You're going to beat San Jose State, and then everything's going to be forgetting. If you guys roll into USC, into LA, and you beat the Trojans.
Well, that's not happening. But, yeah, that would
well,
be, that, would, be
that
huge,
would erase
that
all
would be
this
a
shit.
Huge turning point, obviously, but that's not going to happen.
For me, if I'm a Texas guy, I like where I'm sitting more now than last year. Knowing what we know about what happened last year.
That's asinine.
I like, you got a better coach. It's just a lot of the same roster, this team.
Well, yeah. Well, the hope now is higher than it was during the Charlie Strong era when he was losing 6-7 games every year because we have a new coach and he gets to recruit his own guys. But at the end of the day, we're still 0-1. You don't take that over 1-0 of beating Notre Dame.
I'm saying knowing what we know. You have to take the whole season into perspective here. Like, you started 1-0 last year. That's great. But you'd rather have the 1-0 versus the 0-1 now with at least the hope of...
Oh, you're saying an 0-1 Herman team over a 1-0
yes.
Charlie Strong spiraling team.
Yeah. You have more realistic expectations for this year as opposed to last year.
Now the bar's set low. You've got some games that
no one gets hyped for realistic expectations, though. You just want to see a good fucking...
At this point,
team.
I think Texas people should be hyped about realistic... Okay, so that's what's been crushing this fan base. Why we have a caller, Reese, who didn't call in this week, by the way. I hope he's still alive out there. If not, RIP Reese. But who calls in suicidal every week because he sets the bar too high in his head.
Actually, no. He did the opposite.
Yeah, last year he did the opposite.
He called after the Notre Dame win. Is like, this team is terrible.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. He wanted to blow his brains out.
DJ Durkin was the interim head coach at Florida in 2014 and then the defense coordinator at Michigan the year before he came to Maryland. And like every other football coach in America, he was born in Youngstown, Ohio. which is crazy.
That is so weird.
Back to my point, you take a win when you can get it.
Okay.
Always.
All right.
I think it was Tony Dungy. You play to win the game. Okay. Did he say that? Was it Tony Dungy?
Somebody said it.
That was Herman Edwards.
Herman, they're the same guy.
Yeah, really. That's the same person.
They look exactly
that's the exact same person. Bama beat FSU 24-7 in kind of a...
This was nuts. All right, this was terrifying, actually, for Bama. Like, Jalen Hurts threw for 96 yards, one of which was just a touchdown throw. Like, half his yards were a touchdown throw to Ridley.
Right.
And they ran the number two team off the field.
And Bo Scarborough ran for, like, 40 total yards.
He was averaging, like, 2.4 yards a carry.
And it wasn't even fucking close.
And they steamrolled FSU.
Defense is a machine.
Francois got injured fourth quarter. He's out for the season. Like, they got this kid, James Blackman, coming in, who's a true freshman. Maybe not great for Florida State either going forward.
To watch the Alabama defense play.
It's fucked up.
And by the way, you Bama fans, especially you younger ones, I hate you. You're spoiled, and you're going to come back to reality one day.
No, it's like being a Boston fan.
Okay. But watching the Alabama defense play, and then compare that to watching Maryland just run up and down the field against the University of Texas, it is so disheartening as a Texas fan. That defense, the Alabama defense, is so fucking incredible.
That's a professional defense. That's what it looks like.
It's amazing.
Like, Francois was getting leveled every time he threw the ball.
Yeah.
It was only a matter of time before he got hurt.
Having said that, Alabama games are so fucking boring to watch.
I was very bored watching this game.
I know football purists will come at me for that, and that's fine. I don't care what you have to say.
No, they beat you into submission.
But they are so boring to watch.
They won 24-7.
Their offense is boring to watch.
Well, that's the thing. Jalen Hurts.
It's just three and out after three and out. It's just boring.
Jalen Hurts has the arm to, like, throw it downfield, but he's just not accurate, and he's not good.
He's not good.
Like, their offense, like, that. If there's one weak point in this team, it's the offense, clearly. But I think the defense is so good they might win a national
championship
anyway.
That's always been the thing with them, though. It's been a while since they had, like, a really, really good quarterback.
McCarron was good.
Okay. I mean, he was better than Hurst, but I don't think he was that good.
McCarron was not fantastic.
It just, you look really good being on this team no matter what, because you're going to win 10 games minimum.
Doesn't care about the quarterback position.
Right.
You just want someone who can drive the bus and not turn the ball over. That's all he
cares about.
That
seems to be a common theme in the SEC. For some reason, Florida, like, can't really get a quarterback, even though they just got Malik Zaire.
Well, Bama's straight up choosing not to. LSU, I think other schools are having issues.
LSU never has a quarterback, really. I mean, they had, Mettenberger, but, like, I think that's the last.
Mettenberger was really good college quarterback.
Right, but that's the only quarterback I can think LSU ever really had. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, but, like, he came on towards the end.
Is anybody going to beat this Alabama team? Based
on said that last year.
Yeah, that's true. It's so early to try to make calls
early
like this, but yeah. That was a terrifying.
They're going to lose.
Before I say they're going to go undefeated, I want to see more out of the offense. But the defense, no one's going to score on this defense.
Yeah, they're going to lose, but they're not. They're going to still going to be the playoff team.
Is there any circumstance they lose twice? Because I could see them slipping up and losing once, but there's no way they lose twice.
I think so.
Saban loses one game a year.
And if they only lose one, they're going to the playoffs.
And
so
you want to get Saban wants to get out early so he doesn't lose late in the season.
I mean, the crazy part of it is what? They need 21 points a game, probably, to be able to win. Because they're not giving up more points than that to anybody, probably.
Well, so that's
just not a lot of points in college. They can get three touchdowns
themselves. The defense is just stupid.
The thing is, too, FSU is a really good team. And they fucking just...
Yeah. And they scored one touchdown.
And they...
One.
Oh, and they lost their quarterback for the year, too. That sucks.
That's so this kid, Blackman, not great news for Florida State. The kid was the 16th pro-style quarterback coming out of his class, 49th prospect in Florida, and 389th high school prospect in 2017. He's 6'5", but 185 pounds. He's a stick.
Wait,
who's this?
James Blackman, the new quarterback at Florida State, true freshman.
That's like Kevin Durant going into the NBA like his first season skinny.
That's what I weigh. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting
to
see.
You're not 6'1".
I'm 6'1".
It's going to be interesting to see Florida State the next few weeks.
I'm 6'1". Let's get a tape measure.
All right, we will. Okay. Just a quick point. Texas State got a victory.
Our
1-0, undefeated.
I've decided. Now that I'm a Texas resident, I need a Texas team. I think I'm going Bobcats. We're 1-0. We're undefeated. Let's ride it
already.
That is
eat them up.
Poor decision.
What did he say?
Roll cats.
Roll cats. You gotta learn the language, man.
You know what? No, I like that more. Let's just roll cats the rest of the season. Eat them up is weird and there's ass eating connotations to that to me. You know what? Never mind. I switch back. I'm back to eat them up.
It is ass eating season.
It is.
I like stealing other schools' like mottos for or like slogans for your team. Roll cats.
Roll cats doesn't even make sense.
War damn cats.
What is this? A cat doing somersaults? Is that what we're looking at here?
We are Texas
Does
State.
Roll tide even make sense though?
Well, there's a tide and it rolls. You know, like
I don't think that has to do with like the actual ocean tide though.
It always has in my mind.
Fine, I'm gonna stick with war damn cats.
Fine, but I'm gonna stick with eat 'em up.
Well, Alabama does have a little bit of coastline, so maybe I don't know
because of ass eating season. Well, what else?
Because it's on the Gulf.
Oh, you talked about the Georgia Tech game.
I was impressed by Georgia Tech, and they fucking blew it. I have no understanding how they lost that game.
College football's tough.
It's crazy.
That's so fun, man.
All right, so that
just
kid.
Chaos out there.
Taquan Marshall.
Crazy game. Crazy games like what happened with UCLA and A&M. That doesn't happen in the NFL. It does not.
Well, it's not possible.
Because the teams are too good.
Right.
So you don't give up a 34. But like stuff like that is so fun. College football is
Well, great. Yeah, and you're watching a team like Georgia Tech who runs the fucking triple option. You'll never see that anywhere else in the NFL. Like, yeah. Taquan Marshall threw the ball, like, I think nine times. He went 5 for 9 for 120 yards, but he had fucking 44 rushes for 249 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's insane.
The triple option is a ridiculous offense.
It's like the 90s Nebraska team.
It looks so weird watching people run that.
We had the over. So the over was 55.5.
Love it.
And the entire time, we're just like, holy shit, Georgia Tech, every time they drive the ball, they're taking 10 minutes off the clock. And we're like, there's no way we're hitting this over. And then
fucking
there was just an explosion in the fourth quarter and then in overtime.
It was a beautiful thing to watch.
It was incredible.
Fantastic overwin.
I was so happy.
Good pick, Dan. USC brought in blind long snap. And by blind, I mean visually impaired. The man cannot see. He is blind.
That's what blind
means. He has a seeing eye dog.
Yeah.
Blind long snapper Jake Olson for a field goal attempt, which they made.
Towards the end. It was a good game. Western Michigan gave USC a good game
for
the first three quarters.
A lot more than you would have thought.
Sam Darnold struggled
a little bit.
Here's my question about this blind kid. Is this kind of like a, I don't want to say make a wish. Like I know that he's like a, he's not a child. But is this like a, hey, let's fulfill this kid's dream?
No, he's,
or is he like
he's
the
on
every,
the team.
Is he like an everyday?
No.
He's
like the backup. Long snapper.
It's a little bit of both, I think.
Because he's on the team, but it's also like a little bit of a special circumstances situation. Not to take anything away from Jake Olson. Like, he came out and crushed the long snap. They made the field goal.
He's not a scholarship player, I don't think.
And they had to do, like, the referee had to give him, like, a tap when he was all that, whatever. And the
cool story.
Point is,
it was good sportsmanship by Western Michigan towards the end. Like,
also, that they didn't just light him up. Yeah. But the fact that this kid can't see and he's accomplished more in sports than I ever have or ever will.
It's on the field.
Two working eyeballs.
I am not blind.
You can see.
If you didn't know that, I have my eyesight, and that's
good
a little
for you, man.
That's a little sad.
Must be nice.
Yeah. So, which brings me to this question: what was the height of your football career?
Because
mine was seventh grade football. I was playing with shoulder pads that, if you go on my Instagram, you can actually see them at WR Bowling. They're the size of my body, these shoulder pads. They do not fit. And I was like a backup corner. I was like 5'2", probably like 110 or something. And on a play where, I guess I was playing wide receiver at some points too, because we were on offense, and one of the guys who was actually good on my team caught a pass and was breaking off like a 65-yard touchdown run, and I was just like running behind him and just clipped the fuck out of somebody on the other team because it was the only time I was ever going to get to hit anybody.
Nice.
And got the whole play brought back.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the height of my football career.
I think I peaked in middle school. So I was like relatively the same size as I am now. So I was a huge middle schooler.
Were you one of those kids that hit puberty at like 12?
Yeah, I couldn't get tackled. So well,
fuck you, man.
It was
awesome. I was the
opposite. Sixth grade, I just like, they gave me the ball. I was a fullback and I just kind of ran. I wasn't fast, but I couldn't be tackled. It would take like 8 kids to put me down.
All right, mine's good. You ready? I played peewee football. So this was actually sixth grade.
Great. I'm glad none of us made it past middle school for our height of our
football.
Well, I broke
career. My leg in high school playing football, and then switched to golf.
Dan's got an injury excuse.
I switched to golf.
I was starting middle linebacker. The first game I ever played, the first series I ever played of football, I intercepted a pass, and I took it 60 yards to the house.
Nice. You should have just quit right then.
Yeah, that was the only defensive touchdown I ever scored, and it was the very first series I ever played. 60 yards to the house.
Nice.
It was badass.
I got put in at linebacker one play against – we were playing Kincaid, which was a very good middle school football team comparatively. I think they gave all their kids growth hormone or something because these kids were all fucking huge and had hair on their nuts. And
there's
I was
always
like,
that one school.
It was very annoying. Anyway, they beat the shit out of us every year. So my coach was like, fuck it. I'll put me in my giant shoulder pads
in
there.
Bowling in. Fuck it.
He put me in an outside linebacker for one play.
Fucking chicken legs.
I went unblocked straight through the line because I guess they were like, well, we don't need to block that kid. direct line at the quarterback, laid out, and he stiff-armed me into the dirt and then continued along his merry way.
That sounds right.
That was it. I was a great linebacker.
Yeah, that was not your position.
I was a linebacker, fullback. I had that neck pad, that giant
neck
pad.
The neck roll?
Yes. Yeah. Dude, had it not been for, like, genetics, my size, my chicken legs, I could have been a good player. Could have been a great player. But, alas, genetics held me back.
Yeah.
Not built for football. I'm built for, like, pencil diving. That's my sport.
That sounds right, yeah.
Anyway, good for Jake Olson. Cool of USC to give him that opportunity. I want to, and he also has like Cali hair, which is tight. Look like Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
Right.
Great football movie. You can support this podcast by checking out Man Outfitters at manoutfitters.com. You can also download the Man Outfitters app in the App Store. What we do at Man Outfitters, which is a big part of what we do here at Grand X, is curate the best menswear and accessories from the best brands so that you don't have to. It's just an easier shopping experience than having to walk into a store in a mall where there's a million options and most of them suck. We've got all the good stuff picked out for you already so that you don't have to do that. ManOutfitters.com, if you use the code BACKDOOR, you get 10% off your next order, the entirety of your next order, by the way, which is... You want that. Free money's good money.
This is true.
Yeah. Fall's coming up. We got all kinds of good... Well, are we here? Is it fall? Is this official?
I don't think it's officially it's still summer, I believe.
I'm hearing conflicting reports.
Fall has not fallen. I think it's September 21st, right?
I don't know. I heard September autumn. 1st from some people. I was
it's
in
always
Colorado.
Like the
20th
or
fall.
The 21st, right?
Yeah.
When season change.
Point being...
The official... official fall is September 22nd.
We do know that it is ass-eating season, though, so it's still that.
And we have ass-eating bibs on manoutfitters.com. we do not. That is not a thing we have. But we do have great pullovers from Patagonia. I mean, great-looking snap tees, as they call them. We've got vests. We got all kinds of good shit. Hats. We've got super comfortable boxers for your junk. You want
to gotta keep the boys nice and tight.
You do. And you don't know a good boxer until you own one.
You gotta have nice boxers. If you have trash boxers, then you're a trash
boxer. I went with trash boxers for like the first 26 years of my life.
I didn't know that there were awesome boxers out there.
Didn't know either. Now
I mean,
I do.
You bring a girl home and she sees trash boxers, like she's just gonna laugh
not
you out of the room.
Not just that, but support your balls,
dude,
man. Oh my god.
There's nothing like a good pair of boxers. We've got some that are by Saks. Get it?
I'm a brief guy.
We sell Saks now?
S-A-X-X, yes.
Wait, since when?
Since real recently, bruh.
Dude.
Are you a boxer brief guy?
They're incredibly comfortable boxers.
Saks, okay. I own about 5 pairs of Saks. They are, bar none, the best boxer briefs on the face of the planet.
Here, you heard it here, folks. Straight from Dylan's mouth. And you can get 10% off those Saks using the code BACKDOOR. Also get, we got North Face, great. The point is, if you're looking to gear up for fall, if you're ready to make the season change, which you should be, and you want to look good at tailgate, go to manoutfitters.com, use the code BACKDOOR, get 10% off your whole order, and just look better and feel better. Look good, play good, feel good. Feel good, play good.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Sweet.
One time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So, Ross, I actually got a few more notes from this weekend in college football. Let me. Because I did. I went through. I went through the.
Wait, we're not
trouble.
Done with the podcast, Dan.
I mean, yeah, we're not going home.
Oh, I'm just looking. I know. I'm just looking at the rundown, and I don't see any more college football.
Well, maybe you should put your notes on the fucking rundown then, like a normal person.
We could do that.
See how I put mine on here. See how I put my notes on here, so we can read them. What do you got, Dick?
Straight off. I mean, just a few things. So Josh Allen, Wyoming's quarterback. McShay has him as like a top 2 pick. Between him and Darnold, could be vying for number one quarterback.
Okay, what do you mean by McShay has him as a top 2 pick?
Like the kid from the quarterback at Wyoming right now, Josh Allen. He has him as like the going top two in the draft.
Shouldn't we wait till like more games have happened before they make that rankings?
I mean, probably.
Okay.
But currently, what he had? He had a
McShay has nothing else to do.
He had a pretty bad game. He played Iowa, put up 3 points. I mean, again, he plays for Wyoming, doesn't have a whole lot of talent around him. So I think their punter actually missed a punt. I don't know how you do that.
Like he whiffed?
He whiffed a punt.
He didn't whiff it completely. He touched the ball, but
clipped it.
He fucked up his drop. You know, you just drop it and you kick it. He like let it go too far.
He
like,
duffed it.
He tried to like reach it like that, and he just like clipped it with his toe. Really funny looking.
Yeah. So he went 23 for 40, 174 yards, two interceptions.
Damn, we do have sacks boxers now. That's fucking tight.
They lost. 24-3.
So this kid that's getting big hype from McShay is
he's got all the physical tools. It's kind of like,
the fuck does that mean?
Small school.
What does that mean when people say that?
Carson Wentz.
Just that he's big.
Yeah, big guy. Strong arm.
Got all the physical
tools. Big guy, strong arm.
I got all the physical tools. I'll show you.
Show us, dog.
No, not right now.
Saquon Barkley for Penn State looked good against Akron. 14 attempts, 172 yards, two touchdowns. Kind of just ran away. I'm so mad at myself for not taking Penn State minus 30 and a half. Like, I knew that was coming. 52-0.
Yeah, they just beat down.
Off them. Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State. They look fucking good. Did you see that game, Dylan?
I picked them to win the conference. Yeah,
I saw the thing I saw was on Instagram, and it was our boy T-Boone Pickens in his box, like standing up waving to the stadium's named after him. Most of the campus is named after him, but he was standing up in his press box, or not press box, his suite, whatever. And there's a guy behind him, kind of holding him to make sure he doesn't like fall off over the railing or whatever, because he's an older guy, he's getting up there in age. Well, the guy holding him was one of my pledge brothers from Texas State, Pete Stovall, and he's wearing a baby Bjorn with a fucking baby strapped to his chest while he's holding his billionaire grandpa to keep him from holding over the railing. And I was just like, man, my life is different than yours.
Oklahoma State, that's a weird place.
They looked good, though?
Yeah, so Tulsa was a 10-win team last year. They just waxed the floor with them.
Well,
Mason Rudolph.
They're going to be tough.
Good for the old Cowboys?
Oklahoma looked good, too. Yeah, they played
Cowboys 20 for 24, 303 yards, three touchdowns.
Trash-ass team.
UTEP? I think UTEP.
UTEP's trash.
Baker Mayfield only played the first half, went 19 for 20.
What, and then they took him out?
Yeah, took him out. 329 yards, three touchdowns. Only played the first half, and they still covered.
So
the spread was 43.
The reasoning for scheduling these trash teams week one is so that you don't get into a situation we were talking about, which is where you don't want to lose game one. It's a huge letdown for your fan base. You lose a lot of momentum, like excitement-wise. People stop showing up to the fucking games, all that. Right? That's why they like schools like UNLV paid.
Yeah, you basically get to build your own record around your conference play. So you want wins.
You want wins. Win the game. And then right. You also it's kind of like there's no preseason in college football. So
this is kind of serves as a
schedule.
UNLV
cupcakes.
Paid Howard $550K if I remember correctly.
They were
a 45-point favorite and they fucking lost.
That sounds like a Revell tweet.
I'm actually blocked by Revell, so it would be hard for me to get that.
It's very
from
easy
Revell.
To see somebody.
Well, no, my point is no, I did not. It's written many other places. Darren Revell is not the only source of statistics in this world, people. I've been living just fine, and I've been blocked by him for a month now. I still got stats, Dan.
Another fun thing I saw this weekend was Coach O and LSU. They they shut out BYU, and they ran the ball 57 times. I think they threw it like 18
times. They have like a three running back rotation? That seems like that's a lot of carries.
But that's just Coach O, just smash mouth, smash mouth, smash mouth. Like, don't throw the ball, just run.
That's why people love that guy. He's just a fucking old school football dude.
It's going to be interesting to see them play Alabama.
Is it? Or is it going to be the most boring game in the history of sports?
Do you remember, didn't they play a national championship game that was like 9-6?
I don't know if it was a national championship game.
Or was it
game,
the SEC championship?
The last like four times they've played that I can remember were games of with scores of that nature where I was just bored out of my goddamn mind watching two defensive powerhouses attempt to run the ball on each other.
Yeah, I think it was a national championship game where LSU didn't get past the 50 until like the fourth.
That
quarter.
Was it, yes. Yeah. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Maybe longer, I don't know. I lose track of time. But yes, oh my God. That was awful. I think I'd bet on LSU, too. Which, by the way, just a lot of people were hitting me up this week and asking if they should bet on who'd Bama play?
Florida State.
Florida State. And
we took the points on the podcast. We did. But we did not in real life. So that's
not
good.
In real
that's
life.
For us.
Well, I just want to say, betting against Alabama, especially in the season opener, is like we said last week, but then we used reverse psychology to
you're
talk ourselves into
you're
using
a fool if you
that's
do
an insane move. And I was telling people that, like, on DMs, on Twitter, or whatever. Like, do not do this. It is unsafe.
They don't care. Nick Saban will stomp your heart out.
They're sick. He's sick. He's a demon.
He's going to live forever. He'll be coaching for Alabama for the next 20
years. I like how the guy's just never satisfied either. Like, the first thing he said, he's like, well, we have a lot to do to get better.
Dude, I saw footage of him screaming at guys during stretches before the game.
He just must be a
like, you're not stretching
bitch.
Hard enough. You fucking loser. Do you want to play? Work those fucking hamstrings. Screaming at people.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic. You have any other football notes?
Not just Lamar Jackson kind of took care of business at Purdue. Purdue kind of hung tough, though. It was 35-28. It was a lot closer than it should have been. Jackson went 30-46, 378 yards, 2 touchdowns, 21 rushes, and 107 yards.
So he'll clearly be another Heisman.
He's not
going to
win, though. No one ever wins back-to-back Heismans.
Right, right.
So, like, he could have a better statistical season than he did last year, and he still won't win the Heisman.
But he'll be one of the guys up there.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be in the ceremony, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Then we got more hashtag sports to talk about.
Hey, this is Dave, and I'm with the Dudes Doing Business podcast. We are a business lifestyle podcast for you kids who are about to graduate and anybody who's even, you know, a few years out of school, or maybe you're like a 45-year-old man or woman. We're for you, too.
Anybody that's trying to figure out how to navigate their professional career.
Nothing's off limits. We're here for you. If you got questions, we take emails. We got a hotline. Just give us a chance to earn your business. That's all we ask for. Find us again. It's at Dudes Doing Biz on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe, Dudes Doing Business. Thanks.
Jared Borsler here with the Inside TFM podcast. If you don't like listening to all this old people bickering and you want to actually talk about cool stuff like alcohol and college and fun, listen to the Inside TFM podcast.
Cool, we get it. You drink cold brew and you're closing deals. I don't really give a shit, you know? Because we're out here, we're still drinking beer. We're kind of reliving our glory days. We haven't gotten past that point of our lives. So if you're still there with us, why don't you join us?
Yeah, do it. That was Dan Adjuster, by the way. You can hear a lot more of them on the Inside TFM podcast. Listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, we are back. Time to talk about some NFL, which stands for National Football League, which begins tomorrow. Can you believe it?
Patriots Chiefs.
We're back, baby.
Thursday night.
Get to set my fantasy lineup. Yeah. Get my shit kicked in, probably, and then stop caring in a few weeks.
I'm so excited for the NFL to start.
I love betting on college football and tailing guys like Dan when he's on a hot streak.
I love college football. I can't bet the NFL. Hard as hell.
I am not nearly as knowledgeable with college football as I am with the NFL as a result of having gone to Texas State, who is currently undefeated again. But it's not a football school. It's not a football program. I didn't adopt another team because I'm an American with a pure American soul, and that's wrong. And so I'm just more emotionally invested in the NFL because I have a team.
I think Vegas also knows the NFL much better than it does college the first few weeks.
It's tough.
Yeah. So like the first you can get Vegas the first 3 weeks in college football, but the NFL I think they're pretty on the shit.
It's a far superior product too.
You got three preseason games.
What, the NFL?
Oh yeah.
I prefer college football. I mean, I get the NFL's better. I just prefer college.
Yeah,
I prefer
NFL, but I also enjoy college quite a bit, mostly for gambling reasons, though. That's the thing. If I couldn't bet on college football games, I wouldn't give an ass rats about college football. Yeah.
Okay.
But I can gamble on the games, therefore I do care, and I enjoy college football very much.
The atmosphere is just not as fun either, though. The NFL is just like pro, it's corporate.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I love the passion of college football. That's kind of one of my critiques of like Texas football. It's kind of like a pro organization almost in college.
Yeah, well, more so than any other college football program. And that's just the culture of UT. But getting into the NFL, Dolphins-Bucks will not be played on Sunday anymore due to that Hurricane Irma.
Oh, that sucks. So they are going to reschedule it the week they both have byes.
Week 11.
November 19th. So they're going to play 16 straight games?
So their bye week is week 1.
Well, no, they're not going to play this week. So this is
their
bye week.
All right, so I'm saying they're playing 16 straight games. Yeah, that sucks.
Unlike every other team. That does suck.
Which really, yeah, thanks a lot, Hurricane Irma. That's
that bitch.
I don't think the Dolphins... Well, fuck, dude. See, both those teams are not bad this year.
Bucks like, are good. I'm all bought in on the Bucks after watching Hard Knocks. Love Jameis. True leader.
There's nothing dumber than the guy who watches Hard Knocks and then goes all in on the team that was on Hard Knocks. It happens to half the population every year.
I didn't do it last year with the Rams because they sucked.
God almighty, the Rams were awful.
The Bucks are good, though. DeShaun Jackson, Mike Evans. Like Jameis Winston has me all bought in.
I've got Gurley on my fantasy team. If that fuckstick comes out and does what he did like for 6 weeks of last season, I'm gonna hang myself.
Probably because they don't have a quarterback. The Rams.
But surely their offensive line improved in the offseason somehow. I didn't watch any of their preseason, so I have no idea. I just drafted him blind.
They're probably still a trash team.
Great.
And now they're in L.A. And
thanks,
LA,
Dan.
LA's
really
going to have two trash teams that they're not going to support.
I keep forgetting they're in L.A.
Shouts to the NFL for moving two teams in a city no one cares about football, you know?
Money, though. Anyway, Dolphins Bucks, week 11, November 19th. That's when those guys will be playing now. So we got one less game, which is sad. Sad. TJ Yates, multiple time repeat guest on Backdoor Cover, friend of the show, put on IR in Buffalo after a concussion.
Boy's getting paid, though.
He's always getting paid. We hope he recovers swiftly or not. You know, just hang. Collect paychecks. I don't know. It depends on what you want to do. Whatever you want to do, TJ, we'll support you.
Or call in and say hi. Either way.
Yeah.
Feel free to visit, like in studio.
You got some time now.
We got a fourth seat.
Come hang. Yeah, we have an empty chair over here. It's got your name on it.
Fourth co-host.
So we're going to make picks, official NFL picks on tomorrow's podcast, which is Thursday, September 7th. But we wanted to go ahead and have some type of prediction for the NFL on this show today. So we're going to do, who wins the Super Bowl?
All right.
Before week
it's
one,
a loaded
question. Who wins the Super Bowl?
I have my pick.
Who's your pick, Dylan?
I know you expect me to say the Patriots.
No, you're going to say, how about them Cowboys?
I'm not going to say the Cowboys either.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That's a good second-tier pick for a surprise pick. Yeah.
The Patriots are going to be the sexy pick here, and I get it.
Is it even called the sexy pick at this point?
No,
it's
they're
common sense.
They're just
terrifying.
It's
common sense. Yeah,
terrifying.
This is Brady being
Tom
Brady.
Perfect. Yeah, still
being Brady. Belichick.
No one touches him. He never hits the turf.
Yeah, we can't. None of us can pick New England because that's just not fun.
Well, I don't. Okay.
That's why I went with the Steelers.
Fine, fair enough. No Patriots. We're making a rule.
No, you pick the Patriots.
You can pick Patriots. I'm not going to.
Well, now you. No, I don't want. Now Dan's making me feel bad.
Don't let Dan get in your ear, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, who's your pick?
Off the cuff.
Yes, off the cuff.
See, I really want to like go with. I really want to go out of the on a limb and just pick fucking Carolina.
Okay.
But that division's loaded. I don't know if they're even getting out of the division.
They're at 30-1. Carolina is.
What's fuck it.
What's Pittsburgh at?
You know what? I'm gonna go Carolina. I believe in Cam. Cam's gonna bounce back.
Pittsburgh's at 10-1.
Okay.
You know what surprises me in the rankings here? First of all, Oakland 8-1 is the second most favorable or the second highest odds.
Can I guess who the Patriots
next
are?
To the Packers? Yeah, guess
3-1,
11-4, so close.
Yeah,
11-4, not 11-4.
So I saw
basically 3-1.
No, but the surprise for me here, Seattle, also the second best odds, 8-1.
Well, yeah, they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, and they've been in the conversation the last few years. That makes sense.
I was not that impressed by them last season. I don't know what steps they've made this offseason to get that high in the. But whatever. Obviously, Vegas knows a hell of a lot more than I do. Just going off my gut and Seattle from last year, I was surprised by that.
What do they have the boys at on there?
The boys are 12-1, right behind Pittsburgh.
See, I don't like
and
anyone
right
in our
behind
division
Pittsburgh,
either because
yeah,
our
right
division's
behind.
Really, really tough.
Yeah.
Cowboys, that's Giants, fair. Eagles, I think are all. Redskins, all of us. I think any team in the NFC East could make the playoffs.
I'm going to go New York Giants
okay.
as my Super Bowl pick.
Every few, like, well,
you never know.
Every few years, yeah.
You never know what Eli pulls out of his ass.
I don't want to live in a world where Eli has three rings.
I do.
He's already a Hall of Famer.
That's the very reason I'm making this pick. I want Eli Manning to have more rings than his brother. I want chaos. No, he doesn't. Does he? I thought they both had two.
Oh, shit. Peyton does.
Yeah, he got another one, dude, when he was
I forget about his first one.
You forgot about Zombie Peyton. You forgot about Young Peyton.
I forgot about his first one.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, he's got two.
Damn.
I want to live in a world where chaos reigns and it absolutely no sense is made of anything, and Eli Manning has three Super Bowl rings.
That's bizarro.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I do, like, I want to pick Green Bay, but I've seen stats where Aaron Rodgers, like, it was something like his win-loss record is worse than it really should be, because like in three or four of his losses, he's had like the game tying touchdown to like force overtime, and then he doesn't even get the ball in overtime and they lose. So like,
well, that's just a coin flip.
It's really just his defense, like, always lets him down.
Yeah, I don't know. Picking the Packers is almost the exact same thing to me as picking the Patriots, just below. It's like, sure, they're gonna have a shot at the Super Bowl every year as long as they got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, like the second best, probably the best quarterback.
One ring, though.
Yeah, but it's, dude, winning the fucking Super Bowl is a very hard thing to do.
Like, if you look at his stats, like, I think I saw this. They're comparing Brady, Manning, and Rodgers, and like the win loss record for Rodgers wasn't great, but they put the like an asterisk next to it. It was just like he led the team to like the game tying or the game like leading touchdown, and then his team blew it.
Oh, he's definitely the second best quarterback on the face of the planet.
Yeah, I think you could make an argument that he's the best. But the only reason that you can't get away with that, and it's a hard argument to win, is because Brady's 40, and he just won another fucking
ring. Aaron Rodgers makes throws that Tom Brady cannot make.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he can run, too.
He can throw the ball 30 yards further than Tom at this point.
He has a ridiculous 30 ability yards. To put the ball where he wants.
That's how I'm saying yards this season.
Yards.
30 yards.
30 yards.
I don't know what's happening to me. I have like four different accents mixed into mine now, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, but fuck it. I really don't have much faith in this, but I'm going to go Carolina. 30-1. Let's ride.
Okay, so Dan's going Carolina Panthers. I'm New York Giants. Dylan, Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are our picks. Lock them in. Lock in those futures. Get yourself some money with that Panthers pick. Who is their running back?
Jonathan Stewart. McCaffrey.
I thought they released Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, yeah, they got Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Is Jonathan Stewart officially off that team, though?
No.
No.
He's their starter.
Yeah, he's their starting running back.
Who got released? Jonathan somebody got released. Williams?
Who's it? Jonathan Williams.
I don't know.
John Williams? The composer that does like the Star Wars?
No, Jonathan Williams. He's a Buffalo running back. He's on their practice squad.
Jonathan Williams did Jurassic Park soundtrack.
That's not the name of that guy, but great soundtrack. Shout out to, who did do it, Dan? Now we have to look it up.
John Williams, right?
John Williams.
Yeah, Jonathan Williams. John Williams.
You don't know that. Well, I guess. Is everybody named John? Jonathan?
Maybe.
No. Maybe. When you place that futures bet, you know where to do it. MyBookie.ag. Go there. Check it out. You can bet with 100% deposit bonus if you use the code BACKDOOR on your first deposit. MyBookie.ag is the website. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me where to bet, where they can play. This is a great option, mybookie.ag. Get on there, use that code.
And they allow for one of your favorite pastimes, live game betting.
Live bullets.
Yeah, live in-game betting, which is if you miss kickoff.
The line moves according to how the game is going.
And that's not even my selling point. You should never miss kickoffs. You should always have a bet down beforehand anyway. But then the point is that you can react to what's happening in the game and get more money on the line.
More money.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, you can try to cancel out your original bet.
Realistically, what you should be doing is placing a bet pregame on the spread, placing a live bet at some point in the first half, placing a bet on the halftime line, placing another live bet some point in the second half, and then seeing how it plays out for every single game. And you should be doing that at mybookie.ag.
Promo code backdoor.
100% deposit bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Check out mybookie.ag today. And then maybe that. On to golf. Our boy, Justin Thomas. Is he our boy?
No.
I like him.
Well, I
like him better than Spieth.
I've got a signed Justin Thomas flag that I feel like with every win might appreciate in value by like $3 or $4.
Well, he's got five. Have a Spieth one.
He's got five wins now this year. He's probably player of the year. Consensus.
One but major. He's still not leading on the
FedEx Cup.
Yeah,
I don't know how that works.
When Spieth loses, he's like second or third.
Right. Every tournament. Right.
Here's the thing, though. If you're from my understanding, if you're top five and you win the last tournament, you automatically win the FedEx Cup.
Is that
that's true?
I don't know. I hope you're right. because I don't know anything about how that works. I've always been very confused by the FedEx Cup,
so
and
like,
never taken the time to actually look it up. Because
every
I don't
week
care
they
that
cut
much.
Players. It's like you have to make this cut line to make the next tournament. This line to make
and
the next tournament.
And there's four total.
There's four FedEx
and
Cup
we're
tournaments.
Deep?
We're two. Too deep, yeah.
Right?
We have the BMW Championship, then we have the Tour Championship.
Okay.
And if you enter the Tour Championship in the top five and you win that tournament, you automatically win the FedEx Cup.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing Spieth and JT be the two guys that were still there at the end of this thing. How fun is it to be a part of that squad?
I love that they really hammer home that they're like boys and best friends.
Well, dude, it's insane. These guys, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler.
They used to like eat boogers together as kids.
They're the main three, and these guys have been hanging out for...
You know who I really
like
feel bad for?
It's not just this year. It's been a few years, 5 years, 6 years that we've seen them. And
prayers up for Smiley. My God, man. You're like three good friends are just killing it on tour.
Where's he at now? What's going on with him?
He's no longer in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't turn around.
He's a young kid.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
Friend of the show.
Smiley's a good dude. Yeah, friend of the show, Smiley Kaufman.
I'm hoping he turns it around.
He will. He will. I've got faith. Who else is in that squad?
Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky.
Ricky's been bouncing from group to group, though. Remember he had the golf boys with, like, Bubba? That's a bad
dude,
group.
Dude, he wasn't in that crew. That was just, like, a weird temporary music video
stage.
Him
and, like, Ben Crane.
That was a shit crew. That was a bad crew. Any crew that's being headlined by Bubba Watson is not the crew you
want to
be. And
that's when Ricky had his long hair and his flap.
Yeah,
like,
that was
really weird.
I don't even, that Ricky is dead to me.
They were backwards.
This Ricky, current day, present day Ricky is my Ricky.
Feel bad for him, too. He hasn't won a major yet. To his boys.
Feeling bad for Ricky Fowler is a little bit of an exaggeration.
But he's a little older, though. He's compared to Spieth and Thomas.
Yeah, but he's in his prime.
He's got like 6 years
on him. Easily in his prime. He's very, 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 very good.
He's due.
For a major?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say that. Oh. I had something else to say about golf, but...
Oh, Dell Technology. Like, they've sponsored like 12 tournaments this year. It's incredible.
Yeah, the one here that we have.
Michael Dell, your good friend, right?
My boy, yeah.
Just donated $36 million to the Houston relief.
Didn't you give him a hand job in an elevator? Was that the story?
I rode an elevator with him. There was no sex.
Oh, you didn't
involved.
Touch his penis?
No.
So I'm guessing, like, so I've never really, like, remember the old commercials, like, dude, you're getting a Dell?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But nobody's really getting a Dell. Have they switched to, like, companies and now they're
no,
not
they
really
do
selling
servers?
They're big servers.
Yeah.
They're
okay.
The server space,
they're still killing
it.
But yeah, you're not getting a Dell.
I'm saying, like, nobody gets a personal, like, computer that's a Dell. So
Michael Dell is worth
switch.
$20 billion.
Right, right. So I'm saying, like, how are they making their money? It's servers.
It's servers.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. They realized very early on that Apple was going to dominate the PC. Well,
they pivoted, is what they did.
They were like, fuck this, and went all in on
deal.
Servers. And
I think
you
can still get a Dell, though, if you want to get a Dell.
Can you? Like, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you can still get a Dell?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what that guy's up to, the actor.
What was.
Oh, they had to kill him.
Yeah, he's dead now. What was. RIP. What was the company that you got your box, your computer came in a giant cow box? Gateway. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds right. Gateway was cows. Sure. They were cows.
Yeah, that's the one I had growing up.
Yeah,
they around?
That was the trash one.
I don't think they're around anymore.
No.
Because their computer box came as a cow. That makes no fucking sense at all.
No, not really.
Any other golf? Do you want
to? By the way, my good friend Michael Dell,
yeah?
Donated $36 million to the Houston Relief.
That is a lot of money.
That's incredible.
It's like
crazy.
It's like Dylan doesn't even listen to me.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah, maybe. I might have said that like 2 minutes ago.
If you didn't say it, you thought it.
No, I said it.
Oh.
The Dell guy got fired after trying to buy weed in 2003. He has since had guest starred on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and in 2015 began a recurring guest spot on Adult Swim, The Jack and Triumph Show, where he is referred to as the Dell guy or the Dell dude.
Good for the Dell guy.
The Dell dude, he's still out there doing it.
At least he's
still
alive.
Getting high and fucking around on random TV shows. Good for him. Now time for the best segment of the day, in my humble opinion. It's only 60 seconds long, which is 1 minute.
Give or take.
And it's called Dan's Baseball Minute, and it gives you all the baseball news you need. Dan, take it away.
Anything you ever need in baseball
for
this week. So the Red Sox just got popped for stealing the Yankee signs.
Via Apple Watch.
Not illegal to steal signs in baseball, but it is illegal to use technology to do so.
So what Do you know how they were using these Apple Watches? Because I don't.
They were sending messages back and forth using their Apple Watches.
Between who?
Between the dugout and the bullpen, I think.
Okay.
Oh, so people in the dugout were spotting the signs and relaying it to the people in the dugout.
On the Apple Watch, you can send those like pulses and signals and shit to other Apple Watches,
which I presume
is what they were
doing. Yeah, so I think the bullpen was stealing signs. They were relaying the messages to the dugout.
I see.
How did they get caught for this? Seems like this would be
Brian Cashman, the GM of the Yankees, like got video footage of them doing it and sent it to the league office.
Oh.
Like, why do they keep going to their watches?
Spotters, I guess, and found like, hey, you might want to see this. Like, oh, shit. And he sent it in.
That makes sense.
The Yankees that they did this.
No, it's just funny to me that this immediately turned into like, ooh, a Boston team cheated? Can you believe it? Because, you know, the Patriots.
Well, they're fucking cheaters, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Patriots are cheaters.
That was legit. Well,
and I'm not talking about the Deflategate. I'm talking about the Super Bowl shit.
That was Spygate and stuff.
Yeah, like, Spygate, dude.
A lot of that was, like, disproven, but...
No, it wasn't. What? How was it disproven?
A lot of it was blown out of proportion.
Oh, that's different than it being disproven.
All right, we got the Indians who are hot.
Very hot.
They are on a 13-game win streak, which is the longest of the MLB season.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah. Francona, coaching the boys up.
You want to win 13 in a row if you can.
We've already touched on Verlander.
Sure.
Undefeated as an Astro.
1,000% winning percentage.
We got our boy J.D. Martinez for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Became the 18th player ever in the historic game of baseball to hit 4 home runs in a game. To put that in context, there's been 23 perfect games. So there's only been 18 4 home run games in the long history of baseball.
I've never understood this. The giving up multiple home runs in a game to a guy is one thing. Like hitting 2 bombs, you're like, okay. Then you stop throwing to that guy. If a man has already hit 2 homers, you don't put the ball in front of him in a place he can touch it. If a man has hit 3 homers, you peg him in the fucking head. Not in the head. I'm sorry. People get worked up by that shit. Peg him in the leg or the ass.
And I might
you don't throw the ball to him.
I might be mistaken here, but it was kind of... It was kind of weird that he did so because he hit the 3rd home run, I believe, in the 8th inning, and then he hit the 4th home run in the 9th inning. So, like, you normally wouldn't have that chance to hit that 4th home run in the 9th inning.
You just don't throw to a guy who's hit 3 dingers. The guy's his bat's on fire. That's like the equivalent of NBA Jam becoming on fire in NBA Jam.
Yeah. Or it's just like thrown to Stanton anytime.
At this point. Can that guy get to 70?
No.
No. He can break Maris's.
He's
record.
On pace for 62 currently.
Yeah. Which we said earlier on another podcast that Stanton believes 61 is the real record.
We sure did.
Which I don't believe.
I'm with him.
No, I'm not.
That counts to me as the home run record.
Barry Bonds is 73. That's the number.
Well,
man was juiced.
The guy.
Out of his skull.
He still had
a sweat steroids.
It still requires eye-hand coordination.
I'm
hard
not
work
saying
at the gym.
It doesn't.
There's a huge advantage
I'm just,
when you're juiced
and I'm not,
up, though.
I'm not even taking anything away from how insane it is that he hit 73 home runs, if I'm being honest. I just don't consider him to be the home run king because he was so juiced. I'd still give that to Roger Maris.
I'm with you, Ross.
Barry Bonds, he just got jealous of the whole Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa thing.
Also very, very
two,
juiced.
Two also, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, cheaters. Barry Bonds, like maybe the greatest baseball player of all time before that. Then he gets on the juice because he wants the attention.
Yeah, but that's his fucking problem, not mine.
No, he was not considered one of the
greatest. Dude, you know what I like
time.
To do?
He was a 5-tool player, and then he decided to become a 1-tool player and just hit home runs. Yes.
I like to look at the before and after photos of Barry, like the ones from when he's like 23 years old, and then the ones from towards the end of his career.
His head got swollen.
When he's gone up like 3 hat sizes. Also like to look at the Mark McGwire rookie year photos,
jeez.
And then the Mark McGwire like 6 years down the line where his forearms have quadrupled in size and are like bigger than a normal person's legs. Bigger than my legs, for sure.
I mean, really, if you want to know who was on roids, I feel like you just ask Canseco. I feel Canseco's been accurate about everybody. Like, he's very forthcoming
okay,
of the information.
Maybe a few years ago. At this point, Canseco might be a little bit too far into la-la land.
Well, the steroid era, the 90s, basically.
Yeah, everybody.
It was pretty much everybody.
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Except Jeff Bagwell, who never did roids.
Yeah, right.
What else, Dan?
That's the baseball minute, man.
That was the baseball minute. And it was just fantastic.
Good job, Dan.
Came prepared today.
As college football season rolls along, surely you'll have lots of things you want to talk about, questions you'll have for us, as we are experts in all things related to the pigskin. Call us at 800-392-6344. That's the Backdoor Cover hotline. You can ask us a question, rant about your team. If you just need somebody to talk to because you're low, which I assume Reese is at this very moment, I'm not sure why he didn't call us. It's heartbreaking.
It's quite concerning that he did not call, actually.
As soon as we're finished recording, we're going to go check to make sure Reese is okay. I saw him tweeting some stuff, but not in the last 12 hours, so I'm a little worried.
Maybe he had him scheduled to tweet because he offed himself.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Oh, suicide.
He went 800. He hoot-sweeted and scheduled.
Yeah.
He wrote Valdez tweets.
800-392-6344. Say your name and where you're from. Ask us a question. Give us a take. Whatever. 800-392-6344. We will be back Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Which is actually tomorrow because this week was funky with Labor Day and I allegedly was on vacation. But every Monday and Thursday from here on out, we're going to talk sports, college football, NFL, baseball is getting into the fucking fun part, finally. We're almost there to the playoffs, I'm referring to as
October.
The fun part.
About a month away.
And we're less than, I think it's like 36 days till the NBA season actually kicks back off again, which is the
Isn't
most.
Like October 25th-ish?
That's weird,
something
man.
Like that.
It's early.
I can't believe it's already come back. More. But that is
Shouts
the
Adam Silver.
Best part of the year when everything is overlapped.
It's sexy.
And it's just pure sports chaos.
October is the single best month for sports.
It's also when I have the potential to actually like not be able to pay my bills and mortgage because there's so much to bet on that if something goes wrong one week.
It's just a good time of the year. We got the
Shouts
triple
to Bill's mortgage.
We got the Triple G Canelo fight coming up as well.
Sell sperm. I'm actually excited for that.
Yeah.
For the crooked
sport
really of
good
boxing
fight.
To show us what can happen in a good fight that is not headlined by fucking Mayweather. Who's McGregor going to fight next? Do they have that scheduled yet?
Probably no, but probably Diaz. I'm thinking Diaz 3 is the only fight that makes sense.
Wouldn't you rather see them fight in the octagon again than in the boxing
ring?
Yeah,
that's what they're
going to
do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going back
to UFC. I thought he was. Okay, cool. That makes sense. Shouts to TJ Yates. Get healed up. Fucking ice that brain, dude.
Anti-shouts to our listeners who don't purchase anything using the backdoor promo code.
Yeah.
Step up one time.
Like we get, there's a little cross podcast.
There's a lot of cross pollination here. We know a lot of our listeners listen to some of our other shows.
One time, though.
Just throw them backdoor. It's a good code.
It's a great code. Backdoor. Go to manoutfitters.com.
Does it work on Rowdy Gentlemen as well?
Yes, it does.
There you go.
Really, you should be typing it in any website you go to. Ever.
Idiots.
I don't care if you're shopping at Dillard's.
You should be
typing in backdoor.
Go to Google and type in backdoor.
No, you might get something.
And then watch some videos for a few. Then go to manoutfitters.com and shop. Buy yourself some fucking clothes and use the code backdoor.
Get
enough of this
a
shit.
Patagonia fleece, man.
You shamed us. We had a podcasting meeting to go over stats last week, and we were shamed.
They threw shit at us.
They rang a bell at us.
I got hit with a tomato.
Yeah.
It's fucking awful. Backdoor. Manoutfitters.com. Jesus. We have to feed our families here and ourselves.
We're not eating right now.
And I haven't eaten in days. I'm emaciated.
But you got to stay hungry, Ross.
That's true. That's how you win the game of gambling, the sport of gambling. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Write a review. That would be very, very helpful to us. We're trying to move up the charts. We're trying to grow. We want to be big dicks. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. Twitter, Backdoor Cover is our handle on Twitter. We also have an Instagram now. Holy crap. Can you believe it? We are in the game. At Backdoor Cover Podcast is our Instagram handle. We already have almost 30,000 followers. Isn't that crazy how popular we are on Instagram? Absolutely nuts.
Good for us.
Going to have awesome shit on there all football season two, all year round. Forget it. Every season. All the seasons. Christmas. We'll put up photos of Santa. At Backdoor Cover on Twitter, at Backdoor Cover Podcast on Instagram. You can follow me on all social medias at WR Bolin. You can follow Dan at
Dan_Regester on Twitter, on Snapchat and Instagram, Dan Regester.
And
Regester.
Dylan.
D Shivery. Chevere.
What do you want, Micah?
I have some breaking news. We have raised about $25,000 from the Houston Strong Tees so far. And we have officially decided to donate the full amount to the J.J. Watt campaign.
Wow.
Boom.
Sports. That's huge. Thank you for all
who have purchased.
Yeah. Thank
but
you to all.
For all you that have not.
GrandXShop.com/strong. Buy a Houston Strong shirt. Support the city. We need it. That's my hometown. That's where I'm from. Those
and that,
are my people.
And that's the one time I don't want you to use the code backdoor.
Right. If you
this
use
is going a, to charity, kids.
If you use a code on GrandXShop.com/strong, you are an asshole. Do not do that. Hopefully you can't anymore. I know you could for the first couple days. That might have been a mistake. We're trying to raise as much money as we can to help those people out in Houston. Also, go listen to a Zero album. Z-R-O. Get yourself some fucking knowledge. You need it. You are way too white. Everybody's embarrassed. Any other shouts? Shouts to Zero. Mo City Don.
Shouts to just any H-Town rapper.
Shouts to everyone on the East Coast, man.
Shouts to Paul Wall. Skinny Paul Wall. He got popped with drugs recently. Cool.
And haven't we all?
I actually have.
I have not. I was just kidding.
Well,
yeah, we know you have.
Yeah.
We've seen the mugshot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. It's exciting. Tomorrow, September 7th. Tune back in. What time are we recording tomorrow, guys? 3:30. So it'll be out late afternoon.
Right before kickoff, probably.
Yeah. That's where you'll get those picks. Dan's on fire right now. You want to ride this betting train? We'll see you tomorrow.
Deuces.
Really quick correction. We just found out that we actually shut down the GrandXShop.com/strong link. If you go to that link now, it will take you straight to JJ Watt's You Caring crowdfunder, where he's got over $21,770,000 raised as of right now. We donated all of the money proceeds from our shirt sales to his campaign, which is $25,000 total. If you go to GrandXShop.com/strong, you'll get redirected to JJ's page, give to his campaign, and we really appreciate everybody who bought a Houston Strong shirt from us. Thanks.